So we'll go back to Luke chapter 8 once again. We looked at this morning, looked at last week, and we kind of started out studying. We want to show limited healing, and the scripture said Jesus healed them all, but yet we know he didn't heal everyone without exception. Matthew chapter 13 told us that that was not his desire. He spoke in parables for the specific reason that some would not see, hear, understand, and he would heal them. But part of the key to understanding that, of course, leadership of the Holy Spirit, of course, but it said all them that followed. And who's going to follow? Well, the good ones, or no, it's the ones, it said his sheep, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. So they follow him because they're his sheep. Well, how did they get to be his sheep? Did they choose him? No, the Father gave them to them. So all the honor and glory always goes to the Lord and never stops with us by God's grace. So then as we're looking at healing, we look at the man that was living among the tombs and how he was healed, and just so many things surrounding this, how he was healed, his condition. But as we talked, this is a picture of you and I. It's a picture of the Lord's sheep, where we were and where he takes us to. And as we read this whole thing this morning, I don't think we'll tonight. We'll just go down verse by verse. But this one that was in his condition, living among the dead, where would he be if the Lord hadn't gone to him? He would still be there. No way out for him. And I just happened to think, where would Noah have been if the Lord hadn't caused the whale to, or the great fish, to spit him up on the shore? Well, he'd still been in there. And of course, Jonah tried everything, and finally, as he gave up, said, "Salvation of the Lord. If I'm going to get out of here, it's of the Lord." And it spit him out. So we'll go back to this, Luke chapter 8, and there's so much in this. But verse 26, "And they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man who had devils," or demons, "for a long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." So this was his condition. Had no covering for his nakedness. We talked a little about that. We'll talk a little more about tonight. Had these demons, had no house, lived among the tombs. It's like, I guess we go to Woodland Cemetery up there maybe. It's all graves, and there's some mausoleums and everything. But this is where this man, I don't think it's quite that nice, but among the tombs. And this is where he lived. He was alive, but living among the dead. That's very important for us to understand that. So now the Lord could raise the dead, but the picture of this one is he was alive, and the Lord was going to take that life and make it a fruitful life by healing him from living among the dead, from which there is no fruit unto God. Saw this one, so he was naked, had no covering for a sin, no house to dwell in, living among the dead. And then he had these devils, or these demons. Says 28, "And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.'" Now, I have some thoughts on that that I'm not dogmatic on. And so verse 28, "When he saw him, he cried out with a loud voice, fell down before him, and with a loud voice, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High?'" Now, we can read scriptures, well, even the devils know, and so forth. I'm thinking, and this is just my thought. It's not. So we had this man possessed with demons, but the man was still there. He was possessed with demons, but he was still there. Was this the man speaking? Demons next. Again, something to think about. When he saw him, so he saw, and he cried out and fell down before him. Falling down, we'll see that a little later, is a sense of worship, a place of worship. And with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High?" And again, you can look at it the way you always have. I just have these other thoughts. Haven't we all had that thought? Jesus, what have I had to do with you? What do you have to do with me? I'm just me. And here you are, Son of God, part of the Godhead. Why would you have anything to do with me? So something to think about. And then it says, "I beseech thee, torment me not." That could be the devil speaking. Or, as we talked about this morning after services, there was a time before the Lord, as he began to open my eyes, before he opened my eyes, when I still had some demons, I suppose, I didn't want to think about God. I didn't want to think about Jesus. Because when I did, all I could think about was the lake of fire. So I could see this one as I looked at, before I saw grace, before I saw mercy, I saw God only, God of judgment. I didn't see Heavenly Father, grace and mercy. But that would be kind of my thought at that time. You know, go away. I don't want judgment. I don't want any of this. What do you have to do with me? And so forth. So again, just something to think on. Maybe more there, of course. And then 29, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for often it had caught him." And caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he broke the bonds and was driven of the devils into the wilderness. So here's this one, and we talked about devils and things this morning, but he's kept, they caught him and bound him and so forth. And I think as we looked at when we read this occasion in one of the other scriptures, he would, you know, they'd bind him, and then he'd break loose, and then bind him again, they'd break loose and everything. So man tried to bind him, but it wasn't totally successful. But far as this binding, I'm going to go read, hold your place here, but Acts chapter 15, there was a binding that's still taking place today. Almost all of religion in their ignorance is doing this binding. So back there, this one was, these demons, these devils, was binding him. And we talked this morning about, well, these demons and devils. Well, when we get down to talk about Legion, we'll talk about a little more. There were multiple demons. So here, so they bound him. We did talk this morning about these ministers, false apostles, appear to be ministers of Christ, but actually they were ministers of Satan. And then it says, Satan himself, you don't marvel that they appear of ministers of Christ. Satan himself transformed into an angel of light. So today, what people view as an angel of light, what people view as a messenger of Christ, often is a messenger of Satan. They appear so nice, and they are nice people, good citizens. So here we see something coming from this same type. How much am I going to read? Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men who came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. So they come down from the first church at Jerusalem, down here in Antioch, and that's what they told them. You got to keep the law of Moses and be circumcised to be saved. So there was some arguments about this. So the church of Antioch said, well, we'll send a commission up to the first church in Jerusalem, or Judea, it says there, and see about this matter, because they're saying you have to keep the law of Moses to be saved. So let's go up there and see about this teaching. Then, verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up a certain of the sect of the Pharisees who believed. Now these Pharisees, a lot of them believed that Jesus was a Beelzebub. Well, these didn't believe that. Did they have a full understanding of Christ? Of course not. But they believed he was of God and so forth. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees who believed, saying it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, these would appear as messengers of the Lord, wouldn't they? I mean, they were Pharisees. Under the Mosaic law, that's what they did. They knew the letter of the law, and they taught the letter of the law. They observed the letter of the law. They understood it. I mean, didn't understand it. But they knew the law. They just didn't understand it. So here's these that are the... And the law of Moses is what they looked to from the time of Moses till the time of Christ. They didn't understand. They didn't see the type and shadows. They didn't see that everything in that law of Moses is pointing to Christ. They didn't see the blood sacrifices pointing to Christ. They didn't see the half shekel they gave as atonement for the souls was pointing to Christ. All they could see is, oh, this half shekel of silver, this is for my atonement. They didn't really see all that. But these were the people that devoted their life to studying the law and knowing the law. And people that will be looked at as people of God. And they said, you've got to keep the law of Moses and be circumcised to be saved. Is that a messenger of Christ? Not a messenger of Christ at all. So, then it says, verse 6, and the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, and if someone is teaching, commanding to keep the law of Moses, I certainly hope there's much disputing. We don't want to let that go undisputed. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knoweth the hearts of men, bore them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore... So Peter is talking to these. He says, now therefore, why put God to the test? To put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. So this yoke that they would put on there, this is what they put on the different oxen, different animals. Put it over their neck, on their shoulders, and that's what they would connect the heavy loads to, the burdens. And they didn't just tie it to the tail and tell them to pull it, so they had this yoke they put on their neck, and that's what they hooked these heavy burdens to them. So Peter was using that. So he told these Pharisees that believed in Jesus, but still said, you've got to keep the law of Moses. So Peter said to them, why do you put this yoke upon the neck of disciples? Why do you put this heavy burden on the neck of disciples? And then he says, you can't carry it. Our fathers couldn't carry it. Yet, that's what you're telling them to do. That's what you're telling us to command them to do. Why are you doing that? And then he makes this very simple statement we talked about this morning. That I believe it was Paul said that he was concerned about them, that they would be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Well, Peter gives something here, simplicity that's in Christ. Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. That's the simplicity that is in Christ. We believe it's through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. So there's a simplicity that's in Christ. But those that came down from Jerusalem, did they leave it at the simplicity that's in Christ? No. They were corrupted from that. So, but you got to keep the law of Moses. So, the one in our text, they had bound him. Verse 29 said, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for often it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and fetters. And he broke the bonds and was driven of the devils into the wilderness. And wilderness is not a fruitful place either. And then verse 30. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion. Because many devils were entered into him. So, I don't think anything insignificant in the scriptures, of course. But I was thinking, and I do believe this is an account that literally happened, of course. But what's the teaching in it for us? Christ healed. Okay, got that. That's a wonderful teaching, that Christ heals. But all these other, I'll call them little important details, why are they in there? Could have just said, hey, there's a man living among the tombs and Christ healed him. We got it. But there's more in there because there's more in there. So it says, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? He said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. His name was Legion. There was many devils. So if we look a little bit, as we looked at this morning, those that appear to be apostles, those that appear to be messengers of Christ, yet they're messengers of Satan, who's transformed into an angel of light. So in a sense, those messengers of Satan would be carrying the doctrine of what? The demons. And Brother Bill, I think it was last Sunday, was talking about that. That was a very good observation. We talked about devil's food. He'll crawl in his belly and dust shall be his. He'll eat dust all of his days. Dust, devil's food, earthly things. Which, wasn't this an earthly thing that these Pharisees was commanding the sheep to do? An earthly thing. But Bill made the observation, was talking about the healing of the one, when the Lord made spittle. So out of the mouth of the Lord, into that devil's food, and what did he do? Turned it into angel food. I thought that was really good. So here, had this one and said he had many devils. So, what's that teaching? Is there something else there for us? Well, if these were messengers of Satan, false apostles, messengers of Satan in disguise as apostles of the Lord. Had many. And I was thinking, I may have mentioned this morning, I'm not sure. I think I did. There's a lady that she was a shut-in and very, she wasn't very mobile. She just was really a shut-in. And she watched television, the religious channel, all day long. She watched television, but it was always these religious shows and everything like that, and religious channels. So she'd hear one person say, if you want to be saved, you've got to do this. And she believed it, and she was possessed by that. Another one would say, listen, Jesus wants everybody to be saved. And maybe something like, you better be saved before it's everlasting too late or whatever. And she believed it. And she was possessed by that. She'd hear another one say, it's up to you to make the choice. It's up to you to make the decision. She didn't realize, nor did the messenger of Satan teaching that, that the decision was made before the foundation of the world. If we had a decision, we would choose darkness rather than light. But she'd hear people say that, and she was possessed by that. Betty, I think the time you and I talked about him a couple times, and used to, I thought, well, I shouldn't mention the names of these people say this, but if they're on television, not ashamed to say it, then I don't think I need to give a disclaimer or anything. But Kenneth Copeland. He was telling people, television audience, and no doubt thousands of people in his auditorium there. By the way, I think I know someone that got kicked out of his thing on Facebook or on TV or Facebook or whatever, social media or something like that. But anyway, you got Kenneth Copeland. Appears to be an angel of light. Appears to be an apostle. Appears to be a messenger of Jesus Christ. That's how he appears. But he made a statement. And of course, it was a money-raising statement, if you look beneath the surface. But he says, God needs you. And then he said, in fact, point your finger at yourself and say, God needs me. Now let me ask you, was that a message of Christ? Was that an apostle of Christ? Now, the Lord could convert him tomorrow. You know, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that was that Christ's message? Was that a messenger of Christ? Or is that Satan's message? That God needs you. God needs me. And like I said, I thought very quickly, if God needs me, he's in really bad shape. He's not much of a God at all if he needs me. So, this one here, and I was thinking along this line, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. So, don't we see this in the religious world today? We see these trying to put you in bondage. Good people, good citizens, as far as I know. And then they're under the being hidden and appearing as messengers of Christ. Under that cover, they give you a messenger of Satan. And that, you're possessed by that demon, if you believe that. So this was possessed by many demons. Religious world today, can't you see that? Can't you see many? I've talked to different people about, and I won't go into the different ones they listen to, but they're possessed by these demons. So anyway, so here this one had many demons. And in verse 31, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there's much more that I don't understand and see about this. Maybe the Lord will open our eyes more as time goes on. But these demons said, don't send us out into the deep. Don't send us out into the abyss. I'm sorry. I got everybody's attention, including mine. so close to the holiday when we're going to be eating a lot. Okay. So they said, don't cast us out into the deep. Don't cast it out into the abyss. Don't do that. And verse 32. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. Now swine was an unclean beast. They were not to have anything to do with it. They weren't to eat it. It was an unclean beast. But here are some raising swine and feeding there. And they besought him that he would allow them to enter into them. And he suffered them. So now, and again, I don't understand all this, but these demons, these messengers that possess them say, oh, don't cast us out into the abyss, into the deep. Put us into these swine. After all, they was all unclean, weren't they? Sound like a good idea, something good to wish for. But what was the end result? Well, it tells us they ended up where? Verse 32, and there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would allow them to enter into them, and he permitted them. Then went the demons out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and were choked. So they ended up into this abyss anyway. That was their end. That was their end. And we could see more things that, of course, as well, too. Verse 34. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled. These were people attending to these unclean beasts. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. So they told what had happened and so forth. And in verse 35, so as we look at verse 35, as I mentioned this morning, I think I failed to mention it tonight, but it is a picture of the Lord's sheep. It's a picture of you and I. It's the before and after picture. Well, let me say before, during, and after, because it's a process. I mean, the demons that I had, they were cast out not like that. Some of them hung around. These demons, these messages. So here, as we look at after these demons were cast out, in verse 35. And again, I hope you can see the picture of you in this as well as other Lord's sheep. Verse 35, then they went out to see what was done. These are the men that was feeding the swine. And came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the demons were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So there's so much in this verse. And it says that when they came, they saw this man sitting, and I hadn't seen that. Brother David brought that up, sitting. What difference does it make what position he was in? If he was standing on his head or sitting, what difference does it make? Well, the Lord chose to put this in here, and sitting is what? It's rest. He was no longer running in the wilderness, running around the tombs and cutting himself and these bonds and so forth like that, but he was sitting. He was at rest. Why was he at rest now? Again, if you want to hold your place there, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 11. So we find him at rest. That's very important. Jesus cast the demons out. And when the demons were cast out, don't you think the Lord put some new things in there? But now they found this one sitting with Jesus, resting. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Can't you almost hear Jesus saying it to this man? Certainly we don't have every word here that took place at that time. So this one that had been possessed of these demons that appeared to come from angels of light, the Lord says, "Come unto me. You've been laboring. You've been under this bondage. You've been in these fetters and chains and running out in the wilderness and living among the dead and everything. Come unto me. All ye that labor and heavy laden." He was heavy laden. I was heavy laden. "And I will give you rest." And he says, "Take my yoke upon you." Don't take the yoke of these fetters and chains that these Pharisees, these false apostles, don't take their yoke upon you. Don't be fooled. They can't carry that yoke. They're putting on you, but don't take that yoke. They can't take it. The fathers couldn't carry it. So he said, "But take my yoke upon you." No fetters, no chains, freedom. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." So as we learn, he says, "Learn of me." As we learn of him. And isn't that what we do as we assemble here, as we study, as we fellowship, even as we pray, that we learn of him? And when we learn of him, not the false Jesuses, not the other gospels that the world teaches, which is demonic, but when we learn of him, not learn the one that they tell me about, this false Jesus, he wants everybody to be saved. But we know everybody's not going to be saved. So they're telling me about Jesus that's a failure. The one lady, I still hear her words, "Honey, it's not the Lord's fault. He's done all he can do." Sounds like a sweet, loving statement. But was that from a messenger of Christ? No. That was from a messenger of Satan. Demons that this lady was possessed with. "Honey, it's not his fault. He's done all he can do." What a horrible thing to say, even on an earthly thing. If you're doing some type of work or something, you say, "Well, done the best you could do, but that wasn't enough." That's not something we want to hear necessarily. But to say that about the Lord, that's a demon. That's a demon. Many are possessed with it. I hear that all the time. They'll go to the scripture there in Peter. He's not willing that any should perish. And if they would just look at it a little more, it's talking about they and them and then us and we. The us and we, he's not willing any of them to perish, and not one of them will perish. They's and them, certainly they will. But it's not because they failed. They weren't his. "Come unto me, all yet labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And when the Lord begin to bring you and call you, now, No, we don't hear audible voice. One time he was listening for audible voice. He was looking for a literal light. May sound funny, but on a serious matter, that's a very serious thing. Later, he was called and he was brought to the light, of course. But come to me, all you labored and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And when the Lord begins to call you, and you see what the burden that the demons put on you, and you see his yoke, which he pulls, he takes the full load, then you said, and I will give you rest. Are there words to describe that rest? When you think of eternity in the lake of fire, and then when you realize he's already paid that price. Is there any word to describe that rest? I can't think of any except, gratitude. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And as we learn of him, that rest is more pure. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Not what the demons put on you is not. In fact, you can't carry it. Okay. But rest. I was going to go to Hebrew. We don't have time. We're getting... Hebrew talks about there's a rest for the people of God. And basically it says that the work was completed before the foundation of the world. Boy, That's a nice truth. I started to say nice thought, but that's a nice truth. That the work was finished from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? Jesus Christ was as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb, from before the foundation of the world. We come into this world with demon influence, thinking that we have to work our way through the works of the law and different things like that. And what rest it is when the Lord takes that off. So there's a rest for the people of God because the works were finished before the foundation of the world. How much of the religious world today still carrying some demons think that it's up to them, their work? And it varies what work it is. From taking the first step, making the decision, it varies. But it's not all of what Christ has done. Okay. So then, back in our text in verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the demons were departed sitting. So now he's at rest. He was not at rest before. And it says sitting at the feet of Jesus. This is a place of worship. I won't go to that either, but we can read where bowing down at their feet, this is a place of worship. So now, here he was, and picture this, at rest, worshiping Jesus. In Revelation, there's a time there, and these had crowns. And what do they do with these crowns? Oh, I'll polish mine up a little bit and everything like that. No, they had crowns. They had rewards. They cast them at the feet of Jesus in worship. Lord, I have these because of what you did. I don't deserve or have this. So he's sitting at his feet in worshiping. And then we're going back to this clothed again. Clothed. He was clothed. Before he wasn't. And we talked about being cut naked to our sins and so forth. What's the first reference we have to being clothed or being naked? Was Adam and Eve. They saw they were naked. So the Lord clothed them. Now Adam and Eve tried. They made leaves, fig leaves. Tried to cover themselves. They were still naked. Still hiding from God. And the Lord clothed them. He made coats of skins. He killed an animal. He shed the blood. He made coverings for them. And the covering was a shedding of blood, which was only a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. His shedding of blood, that's our only covering. Without that, it is nakedness. So here's this one sitting at rest, worshiping Jesus at his feet. And now he's clothed. Another place we can look at clothing. And I know the religious world, they'll have food pantries. They'll have different articles of clothing to give to people and everything. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you understand what you're not doing. But we should clothe people. Now, we don't have a place down here where we collect goods and people comes and gets it. We don't have. But we're to clothe people. You remember after the flood and Noah, and Ham saw Noah's nakedness. Did he try to cover him? Didn't try to cover him. Didn't try to clothe him. The two other sons took a covering and went in backwards. Didn't want to expose, didn't want to see his nakedness. What did they want to do? They wanted to cover it. They wanted to give him a covering. So here we see this one sitting, he's at rest, worshiping Jesus. He's clothed, his sins are covered. How do you describe that other than my cup runneth over? Sitting at rest, worshiping Jesus, and he is clothed. There was a time, I think it was Church of Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, I think it was Laodiceans, Revelation chapter 3, and I want to look at this. There were some naked here, but they didn't know it. They didn't know they didn't have a covering. It is Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3. And let's start verse 17 just to save some time. So this is a church. And he says, but thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Boy, I hope we never get to the place where we think we have need of nothing. The religious world has taken that to the extreme. Okay, here we are, there's heaven. I don't need anything. I'm a free moral agent. I've got all that I need. I'll choose the Lord. I'll choose light. I'll take the first step. I'll hold on faithful to the end. I'll do the best that I can do. They don't see they have need of anything, do they? They'll throw the word Jesus in there once in a while. They've got all they need. We're self-contained. It's all up to us. This is where they were. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, it wasn't talking about physical nakedness here. They would probably have known that. But they were naked. They had no covering. Why? They thought that everything was up to them. I'm a free moral agent. I'll choose God. I have need of nothing. Got everything that I need. That comes from a messenger of Satan, by the way. So he said, they didn't know it. Well, okay, the religious world today, do they know they're naked? Those that appear to be messengers of Christ, but they're out there telling you, if you want to get to heaven, just like those that came down from Jerusalem, you got to keep the law of Moses, be saved. Do they know that they're naked? And no, they don't know they're naked. But are they? Of course, they have no covering. The blood of Jesus Christ is our covering. They're not looking at that. They're looking at themselves and what they must do and not do. So here these were naked. But now this one that had been out there living among the dead, now he's sitting, resting, worshiping at the feet of Jesus, clothed. And I'm sure it's not mixed garments. Not a little bit of gray, not a little bit of law and a little bit of the blood of Christ. I'm sure he is clothed in nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ, the simplicity that is in Christ. And now, said he's in his right mind. Wasn't in his right mind before. I wasn't in my right mind before. As I would think, well, you got to be good, you got to do this, you got to do that. Wasn't in my right mind. Been eating devil's food. But now, the Lord cast all his demons out. And when he does, we're at rest. We're worshiping Jesus and not man, including ourselves. We're clothed. We're comfortable that we're clothed in his righteousness and in our right mind. Nebuchadnezzar, we won't go there, but you remember he was this king and built this kingdom and everything. And by Daniel's interpretation of the dream, you're going to be cast out living in exile for what I believe was 7 years, said till seven times Passover. And a year later, I think he marked his calendar, well, wait a minute, nothing's happened here. My kingdom's not going to be taken away from me. I, and that, we use that word I a lot, just like Satan, I built this kingdom, my might and my power. Just like Satan's doctrine, Isaiah 14. I be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So Nebuchadnezzar was full of these eyes. Was he possessed with demons? Oh, yes. He wasn't in his right mind. But then we see a little later, he says, and then my understanding returned to me. And I love talking about the 7 years, how his understanding or his mind would be returned unto him. He said, but then I looked at I worshiped the Most High. Not one of the high, but the Most High. And he told us something about that. After his mind, he was given an understanding and in his right mind. He says, this one, this Most High, said, he rules in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. When you realize that God Almighty, that is not just God Almighty, but he's your heavenly Father. And when you realize, when you're called to see, I may say it that way, when you're called to see that he's in control of everything on this earth, we know he is in heaven. That part's easy. See, he rules in the armies of heaven. Well, we understand that, sure, everything going his way in heaven, but he rules in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And when he calls us to realize that, everything that happens in this world is because he brings it to pass. Aren't we at rest? Don't we have peace? In our right mind, he's in control of all things. So, I'd like to finish this. We won't bring out much. Let's read just a little more. So here this one is. Let me read 35 again. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the demons were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And now they were afraid. That brings back a thought. They were afraid. So I remember there was a truck driver, and he delivered twice a week. And we started talking a little about scriptures, and little by little. And each time I'd give him a question or something about, you know, sovereignty or about election or something like that, and we'd talk about it. So this went on for several weeks. And this man, he had rededicated his life to God, he said. He was in this church, and they gave him a job. He was official handshaker. So they gave him a job, and he was happy. And he was in good terms and relations with the pastor. So I was asking these things, and I don't have an answer to that. He'd go ask the pastor. After a few weeks, I don't know how many weeks, we started talking. My pastor said, don't talk to you anymore about that. They were afraid. It's kind of a stretch saying, I'm in my right mind, I understand. But spiritually, when he calls us to cast out these demons, and we're in our right mind, worshiping Jesus, looking to him. They also saw it, told them by what means that he possessed the demons, was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gerasenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up to the boat and returned. So they told, now this time it was Jesus, and they didn't want anything to do with the man either. They said, just get away from us. We don't want any more. Get away from us. And 38, and I pray this is a picture of us that continues and increases. Now the man of whom the demons were departed besought him that he might be with him. Jesus, I want to go with you. And we do want to go and be with Jesus, don't we, right now? We and I know Betty longs for the rapture. But Jesus sent him away, saying, in parentheses, he probably said, not right now, maybe. That's my words. Return to thine own house. Well, now he's got a house. He's got a place of habitation. We talked about the Lord took his sheep to the inn. I believe it's a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, return to thine own house and show what great things God hath done unto thee. Isn't that our commission? Isn't that what we're to do? Show what great things God has done unto thee. Not what you've done for God. I hear that so much. He could raise up stone to worship him, or and to turn the stones into bread and so forth. It's not what we do for God. But show what great things God hath done to thee. And he, the man, went his way, and what did he do? And published throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done to him. And I pray that's what we do, that what great things Jesus has done for us, not what we do. Not take any of the honor and glory to us. So this is what this man did. This man that had been in that condition, and now he's sitting at rest, worshiping Jesus. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. And he's publishing throughout great things that Jesus had done unto him. And 40, what was the results of that? And the praise doesn't go to this man. The praise goes to the Lord. But, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Oh gosh, what greater joy that the Lord would cause us to talk to somebody and their eyes would be open, and now they're waiting and looking to Jesus. What a greater thing there could be. So anyway, so I believe this is a picture of you and I, a picture of the Lord's sheep. It shows what condition, what hopeless condition we were in, and it shows what great things the Lord has done for us. May the Lord bless the speaking of his word. We are dismissed. Actually, before dismissed, Bill, you want to go ahead and bring that up? I'll make a motion, however.